185,000 Assyrians. So anyway, it's the same thing. So it's unbelievable. So what we see here, now I'm going to read this next section of Scripture. And this is what Israel did. This is what Israel did. And we're going to make an application to us, okay? Because they didn't believe what God said. You know, they're in this mess. And they said, okay, we got to get out of this. God's already told them I'm going to take care of them. So here is what they did. This is what Israel did. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 through 3. Now I'm going to have an outline afterwards, but just listen to me read to it before I get to the outline. So God's talking to them now because they didn't listen to him, all right? I mean, that's nice. God still talks to us when we don't listen to him. So they didn't listen to him, so God speaks to them. Listen to what he says. Now again, you got 185,000 Assyrians, you're all going to die, and there's no humanly way possible you can survive. They're not making this stuff up. They're scared, and it's a reality. And God says, woe, you know, yeah, that's how he's going to start off. Woe. Woe to the obstinate children. You know who he's talking to us. That's who he's talking to. I mean, he loves us, you know. Thank you, little child. You pull him on your back. You little obstinate thing. You don't listen to nothing, but I love you. Anyway, woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord. To those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade and refuge, but Pharaoh's protection will be your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Don't do this. It's going to backfire. You know, like this. Don't do that. It's going to bite you in the butt. Well, you know what I mean. That's what he just told them. Don't do this. See? Now, look at the summary here. And this is why I have the outline on the overhead. How does he address this? Now, again, what has he told us? I give perfect peace to him whose heart stayed on you. You know, it's like this in quietness, rest, peace. That is your strength. But because it didn't, woe to the obstinate children, those who carry out plans that are not mine. Anybody ever done that? Carried out a plan that's not God? Now, we thought it was a good plan. I mean, you look at the situation. If Egypt doesn't help us, we're done. You know, it's a good plan. But no, we carried out a plan, but it's not his plan. And you formed an alliance. You got people to come along you and help you. You formed an alliance, but not by my spirit. They're inconsistent with me. It's God. Don't make an alliance with them. Make an alliance with me, God. And these are the people who go down to Egypt. Now, this whole different thing, different study, but a lot of times when you see people going to Egypt in the Bible, it equates to going to the world for help. Okay, they can equate that. So you go down to Egypt, you go to the world for help without consulting me. Do you see what God's issue is here? I'm not in this picture. You're surrounded by 185,000. I'm not in this picture as far as you're concerned. And he goes, you're going to get them to come and help you. And you know what it is? This help that you asked for, this will be your shame and disgrace. Your plan will be your shame. Oh, God, why did this happen to me? I told you here, you know, your plan will be your shame because we denied what God was telling us. So there we go. So God distinguishes between his help and the world's help. God tells us why we should trust in him and not in the world's help or our own plans. And he tells us why. He tells us why. Okay, look at this one. He's telling these people, this is why you don't want to do this. Okay, now again, know they're in a pickle. They're just not having a theological discussion. They know they're fried, okay? Isaiah 31:3. But the Egyptians are mere mortals, not God. Oh, if I had so-and-so and so-and-so and help me and this would work out perfect. He has so much humility. He's a mortal and he's not God. That's what he's saying. The Egyptians are mere mortals and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. They got all the equipment. They got everything I need. They are flesh. They're not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, those who help will stumble, and those who are helped will fall. All will perish together. Because now we've got all this help to help us. God goes, now I'll move, and the ones who helped you will fall, and you who they're helping will fall, and both of you will perish. It's going to be your disgrace, your will, and your way. I'm telling you. He's telling us up front right here. So don't put our hope in human answers. These mere mortals are not God. The truth is, God will move, then the world who were supposed to help us will stumble, and we who are being helped will fall, and the whole thing perishes. And I don't have an overhead for this, but in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says this, Paul says this, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. You know what that means? There's 185,000 people out there, and we're going to trust God. And they say, that's folly to me. Ain't no way. The only power of truth is that we believe God said it. But those that don't believe, that's folly. You're crazy. So, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. If you don't know Jesus, this is nonsense. If you do know Jesus, you're thinking, I'm having trouble. It's not nonsense yet. Because, I mean, I really have to trust you. I just can't give you lip service. I have to walk in this. And see, the ways of God are counterintuitive. Look at this verse. God's trying to tell us something. Look at this verse, Isaiah 55:8-9. 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's the reason you can't figure it out, because you're human. And you can't see what I'm doing, and so you need to come to me and hear what I say, because I'm going to do it, but I'm going to tell you. But I'm just going to do something like rest, have a cup of coffee, relax, and that's your strength. Wait a minute, I need a few more details, you know, like maybe give me a few Egyptians or something. You know, I need some protection for this. See, no, that's all I'm telling you. That's all I'm telling you. Because it's me or nothing. The Word of God cuts right through human, ordinary human thinking, for his thoughts are higher than the thoughts of men. Now listen to this. This is going to be really convicting, okay? Not trusting God has a name. It's called rebellion. We tried to do a lot of things with, well, you know, and I tried that, oh, you know, and this, little. God goes, that's rebellion. I told you what to do and you did. It's rebellion. Not trusting God has a name. It's rebellion. And you know what rebellion is? Acting without God. You have a better plan. So, and when you act in rebellion, rebellion has a product when things confront you. And the product is panic. Oh gosh, this didn't work. You know, and it's not going to work. And then God kind of goes, yeah, you're right, it's not going to work. And then panic. So that's one way to tell you're in rebellion. You get in panic because things don't work. Because things don't work. Okay, so here we go. And now, you read this, and it's fun to pull things in the Old Testament out of context. And they are. They're great verses you can apply. But a lot of times you see them in context, and you go, oh, my gosh. It has no twist here. Now, here's something. This is just flowing in context. This isn't me adding something to make a point. This is just a flowing of context here, okay? And so what we have by consulting God, resting in quietness and trusting as God is our strength in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Well, what happens is while we're resting in quietness, trusting God, and listen to this, I got to just repeat. While we're resting in quietness, trusting God, because that's what he told us to do. Okay, everybody in the world thinks you're nuts, by the way. Nobody's patting you on the back. Oh, that's good. You're so good sitting there not knowing anything, and the world's going to hell in the handbasket. You're so sweet. They think you're crazy. Okay. Family will think you're crazy. In fact, you may be the only one that thinks you're not crazy. You think you are crazy because everybody else thinks you're crazy. You see what I'm saying? So consulting God, resting in quietness, trusting in the Lord in all circumstances, while we are resting in quietness, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Why isn't the Holy Spirit speaking to us? We're not resting in quietness. Because we all know we're going to die. God, how can I talk to you? You rest in quietness, trusting me, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Amen? How do we get this? How does the Holy Spirit? It's telling us. Rest, quietness, trusting God. Isaiah 30, chapter 20. It's flowing. It's all in context. Isaiah chapter 30, 20 and 21. It goes on and says this. The Lord's still speaking. He's still speaking about this resting and quietness and trusting the Lord. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Now, again, when he gives you affliction, he gives you... Yeah, where do you think the Syrians came from? Do you think God goes, golly shucks, they showed up 185 Syrians. I never dreamed it. You know? No, he knew full well. And the Bible even says he brought the Assyrians. There's several verses that he brought the Assyrians. See, the affliction came on that. But the affliction came to use God's purposes, but God's people got in the mix of this too, but he goes, you don't have to worry about it because I got you, but I'm taking care of the other thing. So he's saying you right here, although the Lord gave you the bread of adversity, in this case the Assyrians, the water of affliction, totally surrounded with no help, your teachers will be hidden no more. Now what's it? You're in this affliction, now your teachers are not going to be hidden. They're going to come up, and you're going to be able to know what's going on. See? That came with the affliction. You know why the affliction came? You're going, I need a teacher. I want some insight on this. But we never wanted the insight until we came into the affliction. You see what I'm saying? Because then we say, God, we need you in this. And our teachers won't be hidden anymore. And with our own eyes, we will see them. God said, I'll provide my people to teach the Word of God. Now listen to this. Okay. Verse 21. Your rest, quietness. All the world's going to hell in the handbasket. Your rest and your quietness. Your trusting in the Lord, and that's our strength. And it says in verse 20, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Is. I want God to speak. Then let's get a point of rest and quietness, trusting in him. He is our strength, and then he'll say, this is the way. Walk in it. Amen? Do you see how this is flowing in here? What? And I said this last time, you think God is fretting over the Assyrians? Do you think he is fretting over them? He's not. What is the issue? The issue is, I'll make it me. The issue, Wallace, rest, be in quietness, trust, and I'll speak. See, the issue that comes up that forces me to depend on, because the only way I'll ever get quiet and rest is trusting it, because it's not working out here. Only thing I'm trusting God, now rest in Him. Okay, God, okay, okay. He goes, now I can speak to you. Now you listen to me, and I'll take care of the Assyrians. You see what I'm saying? That's what it is saying here. It's in context. Great verse for the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that sound good? When you turn to the left, or to the right, or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you. Well, that's that way. See? That means nobody else heard it. See, a lot of times God's telling me, he says, God, won't you tell Linda? He said, I'm not telling you. Leave me, Linda, with me. You do what I tell you. You see? See, that's where he whispers. He whispers. There's a whisper. The Holy Spirit. Now, so we see this. I'm getting on. Coming to the end here. We got. So we read the Bible, and the Bible clearly says, you know, read the Bible, be devoted to prayer, be alert, continue to do what we know. But it also says, listen to the immediate and direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. Note these words, the immediate and direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. Also, I read and I study, okay, devoted to prayer. I'm alert to what's going on. I'm doing what God has told me. But listen to the immediate and direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. Wallace, go this way. That's what it's saying. So, as we embrace all these disciplines, okay, we cannot neglect the Holy Spirit that's revealed in Isaiah chapter 30, 21. We can't ignore that. He's telling us something. All right. And so it's in quiet and disrupt. Now let's just jump over to the New Testament, and we got more explanation of the Holy Spirit and stuff in the New Testament, better understanding. But I'm just going to look at one verse and look at Galatians that fits right in here, Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. Here's the Spirit going, you know, going, duh. And I'm over here, you know, I'm having one-on-one basketball game. So I'm over here in the Spirit. No, just follow. He's keeping step, keeping step. And I'm going over here, and the Spirit's going, hey, Wallace, this way. Okay, you see what I'm saying? That's what's said. If we live by the Spirit, you know what it means if we live by the Spirit? When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we're alive. Therefore, if that's true, then keep in step with what the Spirit's telling you. God, there's 185,000 Assyrians out there. It's fine. Just keep in step. Just keep in step. Keep in step. There's a, now here's something issue. We are made to be guided by the Holy Spirit. That's how God made us. One, this is where the thought comes. I'll let this go. But we're made to be guided by the Holy Spirit. One translation of Galatians 5:25 says this, and it's fascinating. If the Spirit is the source of our life, is the Spirit the source of our life? Then let the Spirit also direct our course. That's logical. And that's why it's the Old Testament, New Testament. And see, this is not some far-out experience. This is normal Christianity. Oh, I'm going to go to a conference and, oh, I'm going to be baptized in the Spirit. And, oh, then, fine if that happens. But it is normal Christianity. It is normal for every single person that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is normal, is to be guided by the Holy Spirit. What I got to do, you know, get a smoke machine and anoint myself with oil and run around and scream. No. How about rest, quietness, trust? I'll speak to you. Yeah, that's amazing. Read the Bible. It has lots of good stuff in here. You know, it really does, how to do this. Now, here's one quick, and this is normal Christianity, and I want to give you one. It's just one quick one that shows how the Apostle Paul did this. Fascinating how the Apostle Paul, and he tells us, you know, he's one of the best, you know, where he explains the work of the Holy Spirit. But here's a situation where he is going on his journey, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him, and he obeys the immediate and direct guidance of the Holy Spirit as he's going along. I'll read it to you. Acts 16, 6 through 9. I'll summarize it later on, but Acts 16, 6 through 9. He goes, this is Paul. He's going on his mission trip. We were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. I'm a trucking to Asia, going to share Jesus. How could that not be good? And the Holy Spirit goes, no. Wallace, no. But God, they're all going to hell. Wallace, no. I got somebody else. Go. See, we were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. What verse do you think he looked up to find that? He didn't look up a verse. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. Paul, go this way. Paul, go this way. You want to go left? I'm telling you, go right. Go this way. Then he says, then he goes on. The next verse, we attempted to go into Bithynia, wherever that is, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow us. I'm on the way to Bithynia. Paul, no. Left, left. All right. Then it says, we went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, urging him, saying, come. Immediate? Direct? No. Come. They can't. This is like over here. No. Left. Okay. No. Right. Okay. Now, come. Immediate and direct guidance by the Holy Spirit. See, and that's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. And so, here we're the founding. This key won't leave my head, but I'm going to share it anyway, just get off my head. You may be totally bored with it. I said, we are made to be guided by the Holy Spirit. That's how we are made. That when creation, God created us to have the Holy Spirit to direct us. Now, this example, God created all things to behave. Say, a squirrel. Do you have a squirrel is created to behave like a squirrel? You can get a squirrel and raise it and treat it like a dog, and it'll be a squirrel. No matter what you do, it's just going to be a squirrel. You know, it'd be a nice squirrel, but it will be a squirrel. It won't be a dog. Because what a squirrel has in it, and what we would call, you know, instinct or whatever, squirrels are born with something within them, and they behave a certain way because it's born within them. Squirrels act the way they do because they're born with something in them to act like a squirrel, okay? And that's the reason you can raise a squirrel in the house, stuff, let it out, and they'll climb a tree and eat nuts, hiding them, everything, you know? Because there's an instinct. It's amazing to watch animals that come in this world, and they'll just start acting like all the other animals of their same kind, okay? Because they have an instinct, and they behave that way. They instinct, and so they... Animals are controlled by their instinct, and we know that. We know, right? Instinct. Men and women were born in the world. We do not have an instinct. We don't have it. You have a little baby, you know, put it on the edge of a table, and it's going to roll off. Just fall off. It has no concept. You get a little puppy and push it and like push it next to a table and it'll be 2 days old. You get a baby, you know, they just flip over and bounce like a rubber ball. They don't, and nothing, you know. If you don't take care of them, they have no sense of nothing. You have to teach them. There's nothing in there to make them work like a man. You know, one guy said, I heard this guy talk, and he said, you know, you tell people, says you, these people act like animals. He said, don't ever insult an animal like that. An animal would never act like people do. You know, they have an instinct that programs them. They behave. They have a behavior. They have an order that they work out. Men and women do not have that. And men and women left on their own, like anybody read The Animal Farm, those books, you know, they grow up to do horrendous things. Okay, very selfish things right there. They don't have an instinct to act the way a human ought to. You just go around the world, you know, and look. They don't have a brought in, oh, I just love Jesus. You know, I love these people that get to be, oh, he'll love Jesus. Okay, you wait till he's two, and then you tell him how much you love Jesus. You know, because he's just cleaning off the coffee table, not doing nothing, crying, falling down, you know. Why? Because because there's nothing in him to tell him how to act like a human. You have to teach him. You have to teach them to behave themselves. We don't have an instinct. You see what I mean? But you know what God gave us at creation for us to operate like men and women? The Bible tells us. Spirit. He gave us the Spirit. Creation. Adam and Eve had the Spirit, and they behaved like God wanted them to, like men and women. They had a free choice. They could do it, but they behaved the way they were supposed to. And God said, when you eat this fruit, you're going to die. Ate the fruit. Did they die? The Bible says they lived 900 years after that. A slow death. You know, I could do. If I'm going to die in 900 years, it's like, fine, I'll take that one. No, but what happened? Did they die as soon as they ate the fruit? They died spiritually. They died spiritually. See, they lost the relationship with God. They died spiritually. And you know what they did? And so they function without the Spirit of God, without the presence of God, as men and women do today. All right? And guess what? They had children. They had children. They were just like them without the Spirit. Men and women can do incredibly good things, and they can do incredibly evil things. See? And so when the Bible says be born again, that means we receive the Holy Spirit and we behave the way we're supposed to behave from beginning. That's our instinct. That's our motivation. That's our teacher. And now the Holy Spirit, and God says, now get in tune with your Holy Spirit. Get in tune with your life. Listen to me, because this is how you're supposed to be. And we receive the Holy Spirit, and then he becomes our teacher, and he tells us stuff like, don't worry about the Assyrians. When your mind is stayed upon me, you have perfect peace. Okay, because that's what the Holy Spirit said. That's what the Holy Spirit said. See, that's how we start moving. We were meant to operate with the Holy Spirit within us. The people without the Holy Spirit, good, doing good, bad, they're all ideas. Because, God, by the way, God made creation. We have gifted minds, brilliance. I mean, just people, because we're God's creation. But our function of being able to act the way a human being is supposed to, it comes from the Spirit of God. And we grow and we speak. And so when we're born again, when we trust Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, we're in his family. We're with him, the Spirit of God. And now we're functioning the way a man and woman is supposed to function. The world without Jesus is functioning without their instinct. It's functioning without the Spirit. And so whatever is good is whatever is bad is what they determine it to be good or bad. They determine their own world. They are their own God. But the ones who have the Holy Spirit say, no, you are God and you are my teacher. And we're the ones that listen and say, don't worry about the 185 Assyrians. The mind who stayed on me, perfect peace. You can't tell the people that don't have the Spirit that. It's not discernible because they're not alive. Amen? I mean, this is fascinating. So lessons, here we go. Application, all right? Read the Bible. It says renew your mind. You renew your mind. It clearly says that. It says be devoted to prayer. You're praying God and you're making a connection with God. Be alert to the things around you. Continue to what you're doing. And also listen to the immediate and direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have just went someplace, walked into a building, walked in, you go, it doesn't feel right. I don't think I need to go there. How have you done that? I want to see a hand. Just walk in and say, it just doesn't feel right. Why? You don't know nothing about it. Everybody else is going there. The Holy Spirit's going, don't go in there. See, he whispered, don't go in there. Don't go in there. That's all that is. You're going, guys, I just feel this is working. I just kind of feel peace about this. Like, what? The Holy Spirit said, it's a good place to be. See, that's the direct and immediate guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's what I'm saying. It all works together. We have the Holy Spirit within us. I knew I had to get the squirrel story in there. I apologize for that. But anyway, but again, that's the reason we're not squirrels. We don't act like squirrels. Like that. But anyway, don't tell people act like animals. Don't ever insult animals like that because they won't act like people. They don't act like people. Well, we end it with this. John 14:1. Rest, quietness, and trust are our strength. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I got the Assyrians. I got them. Just believe in me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we thank you that you care for us, that you're our teacher, that you're speaking to us, you're guiding us in all things, and you want us to stand strong for you, give glory to you, hear you speak, and be obedient to what you say. And Lord, so we do want to rest in you. We want to be in quietness and trust in you, because that is our strength. In the name of the Lord Jesus.